Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's the news update from the morning after.
It's Chrissy Bones. Week 13 in the NFL kicking off tonight at AT&T Stadium. Thursday Night Football, 10-1 Saints at the 6-5 Cowboys, 8:20 tonight Eastern Time on Fox and the NFL Network. And we think on Amazon Prime to New Orleans, still -7.5. Fourth game in 18 days for both teams. Saints led by league MVP and the greatest guy who ever lived, probably Drew Brees. Four touchdowns and four different receivers catching them last week in Week 12. New Orleans leading the NFL and scoring at a sick 37.2 points per game. Dallas led by Dak Prescott. Great Thanksgiving Day. Three touchdowns. Amari Cooper, two with 180 yards and two touchdowns a week ago. And, oh, by the way, Ezekiel Elliott, Corey, already over 1,000 yards and leading the league in rushing.
What else is new? Another day at the office.
Saints can clinch the NFC South with a win tonight, but I don't think anyone thinks they will. Carolina would need to lose in Tampa on Sunday for that to happen. What could have been a big game tonight in the association, but Steph Curry and Draymond Green will not play. 15-7 Warriors at the 18-4 Raptors, 8 p.m. Eastern on TNT. Still -8 for the Raptors. Steph out tonight. He's going to return to the lineup Saturday in Detroit. Draymond also still out with a bad toe. Toronto with the league's best record and the only team in the NBA, top seven in offense and defense. Kyle Korver, the next domino to fall in Cleveland. Cavs traded Korver to the Jazz Wednesday. Cleveland now 4-16 and clearly in a youth movement rebuild mode tank thing. At 37, Korver still shooting 47.
Tank thing.
Yeah, I should know. Tankadelphia invented it. At 37, Korver still shooting 46.3% from behind the arc. Not a popular move in the Cavs locker room. Tristan Thompson says, quote, so the only two guys that are safe now in the NBA are Bron and Steph.
Listen, well, you safe, Tristan. 70-something million dollar contract you got. He's safe. The money he got, he shouldn't be complaining. And what does he do to earn that money?
He's a new leader of the team, Corey.
Being LeBron James' best friend gets you a max deal?
And speaking of that, we can't talk about the next story, which was LeBron James. We'll just skip over it.
Oh, dude, like, do better,
it's
boss.
News.
Do better.
It is news.
It's national news. Every new sports outlet in the country had it in USA Today.
We're not every national sports outlet. Like, why do people want to talk?
No. Is that size of the room's hatred for LeBron James? I need to come over there and class to join up.
Trust me. Let's take a poll right now and ask our viewers and listeners if anybody gives a crap about LeBron James's kid today.
They do.
College football. Trinity High School in Louisville announced that classes were canceled today as a result of a bomb threat against the school on Twitter after Jeff Brohm announced he will remain as Purdue's head coach and not come to Louisville. Trinity is Brohm's alma mater. His father is still an assistant coach for the team. Brohm was a front runner for the Louisville job after the school fired Bobby Petrino earlier this month. Louisville fans also burned Brohm's old jerseys on Twitter.
Wow, it really took that seriously.
They're psychos. They're psychopaths.
They have a good football team anyway. I don't know why they're tripping off of that.
College football championship weekend. Of course, we have Matt Stinchcomb from ESPN covering the SEC. He'll be on in the 11 o'clock hour.
Yeah, right.
He was scheduled for 11:40, so he should be solid for that. Alabama, number one, and number four, Georgia.
Having the Marshall.
Marshall, he's after 11 o'clock also.
Oh, okay. Got
he's going to pull himself out of a meeting to talk to us.
A packed hour.
Both of these guys
I just
were
sort
scheduled
of throw
for
names
11 a.m.
I could just sort of, so tomorrow I'm just going to put the Pope's joining us.
They were both scheduled for 11 a.m. We thought Matt had moved it up, but he didn't. ACC championship, number two Clemson at Pitt. I think number 20 Pitt and Notre Dame, of course, idle. Big 12, it's Oklahoma hosting Texas. Big 10, Ohio State hosts Northwestern. And the AAC, it's UCF without their quarterback hosting Memphis. In the NFL, the Steelers are the NFL's winningest team since the merger with a 6-14 winning percentage since 1970, including six trophies. But of the 17 NFL teams located in the Eastern time zone, they're one of the worst since 1970 in Mountain and Pacific games. That's Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Mike Tomlin, including Super Bowls 14 and 30, which were played in Pasadena and Tempe. The Steelers since 1970 in the Mountain and Pacific time zones are 26-47-1. For a winning percentage of just .358.
That would have been great information to have Like last week before they went into the Mountain West time zone.
I thought you were going to like that one.
No, it is good.
I really thought you were going to like that
story. I do like that one, Bones. I do.
I sat right here and told you that Denver was going to win that game, though.
That's, well, since you told me, I should have known it was going to be true.
Most teams travel poorly, but that's like.
No, that is.
Especially that they're winning this team since 1970.
That is a good one, but it's always the case. Like, we find that out after. You know what I mean? Like, when are they going to the Mountain? Are they going to the Mountain West again? Probably not.
Corey
would know. Is the internet out?
Finally, college basketball. Long time Iowa radio broadcaster Gary Dolphin been suspended from calling the next two games for the Hawkeyes after he criticized the team on a hot mic during a commercial break in Tuesday's win over
I loved it.
Over Pittsburgh. The 22-year vet apologized on air after the game. Dolphin was talking to broadcast partner Bobby Hansen about how great the Pitt freshman guards look, and he said live, quote, "How do we not get anybody like that? It's just year after year after year. Go get a quality piece like that.
Because
just
you're in Iowa. One. That's why.
Makes it tough.
You're in Iowa. You generally get, you know, players who aren't good enough to leave the state of Iowa or can't get scholarships elsewhere, so they have to go to Iowa. All right, the morning after continues. Who's going to join us? I don't know. We'll see. Who's
Marshall Faulk for a few minutes and Matt Stinchcomb from ESPN.
Let's just go to the phone lines. Let's just talk to Michelle Serpico on the other side.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's the morning after.
I finally snapped.
I love it, son.
I've always wanted to be a gift.
The morning after.
I'm gonna smash your face in.
It was pretty wild.
All right, level three, the morning after. I am Gabriel Morenci, and I am dead right about nobody giving a crap about LeBron James' kid playing at Duke 6 years from now. Talk to me, dude, when it's the recruiting then, all right?
Gabe, you got something against young athletes. I noticed that. Yesterday was Baker Mayfield.
2 days ago, yeah.
2 days ago was Baker Mayfield. It's Bronny. It's another young athlete you've been critical of recently. You got something against young athletes.
What, like you have something against Canadians, you mean?
No. Zion! Zion.
Oh, Zion.
Yeah, you got something against young athletes.
But it's a Pillsbury Doughboy.
I think his issue with him is he just thinks he needs to eat less.
No, I don't. I'm just kidding. It's mean for me to say that.
Well.
No, he's
I mean, it's not mean.
He's a fat boy.
It's honest.
He's a great player.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being honest.
Did you see that dunk last night? No, I got nothing against kids. I'm just standing there.
You can jump high for a big boy.
I'm dead serious. Nobody cares about, like, oh, LeBron hopes that Coach Krzyzewski.
Gabe.
Like, I don't care.
Gabe,
nobody cares.
You don't care,
no,
Gabe.
I speak for
you
the world.
You don't care. You know.
No, I speak for everybody. That's why I'm sitting here, because I know what people care
You're
about.
You're the voice of the people?
Yes, I am. I'm the voice of the angry people, Corey.
All right.
I can't stand the voice for all people. I don't want to be the voice for all people. There's too many stupid people. I don't want to be associated with you. I'm the voice of I'm the voice of the people who are right.
You're the voice of the angry people, the angry old men that don't like young athletes. You're there.
No, I like young athletes. No issues.
You like Josh Allen?
Fine young man.
Yeah, that's true.
Upstanding.
That's true.
No, Josh Allen. Yeah, I got no issues with Josh Allen.
What other young athletes you like? Are you a fan of Saquon Barkley?
I am a big fan of Saquon Barkley.
He's a young athlete.
Big fan of Saquon Barkley.
All right. Are you a fan of Trae Young?
I got nothing against him.
Yeah,
are you a fan of Odell Beckham?
Yes.
Not really a young athlete.
Big Odell.
I want a rookie.
Oh.
Gabe got problems with rookies.
No, I don't. I like mouthy rookies.
Ben Simmons. You don't like Ben Simmons.
I don't like Ben Simmons at all. I don't like Joel Embiid at all. I don't like Ben Simmons.
You see?
They're both mouthy, just punks. They're too mouthy.
See? That's old man.
I want to like Joel Embiid, but yeah, get off my lawn, Joel.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections, and now the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Morning After continues on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Marshall Faulk will be checking in a little bit later on. Cam Stewart already checked in. We talked a little bit about this Alabama-Georgia SEC Conference championship game. National championship implications, of course. We're now joined by ESPN's Matt Stinchcomb, of course, former Georgia Bulldog. Not just a former Georgia Bulldog, but one of the best Georgia Bulldogs to play in that storied program in Atlanta this week. Working with Allstate, SEC Good Works Day. And, of course, throwing it down with the legend, Tim Tebow. Matt, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, good stuff. So, first off, tell us about the Allstate SEC Good Works Day. I was kidding around earlier. One of the things I think about with the SEC championship is like the kids throwing, like, you know, for the money and the scholarships and, you know, the Dr. Pepper stuff and, you know, the SEC Conference Championships, that's like a mini Super Bowl or something. And, you know, we've seen Alabama now in this game. I think it's the 12th consecutive year, man, they're in this championship game. What's the excitement level like around this game this weekend?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people view this, certainly folks that support the Southeastern Conference think that this is kind of like a de facto national championship game. And when you look at the fact that it is pitting the number one team versus what is now the number four team in the country in Georgia, you can make a pretty strong argument that that's the case. It might be kind of like what we saw in 2012 before we even had a playoff system in place, where Georgia and Alabama went down to the wire in the conference championship game. And then, of course, Alabama went on to wax Notre Dame in the national championship game proper. I think a lot of folks are viewing it that way, is that this will be the stiffest test that Alabama will have had all season long when they face Georgia on Saturday.
What is the key to beating Alabama? And listen, they've beaten everybody by 20-plus points. I don't have to tell you. We have to go all the way back to 1888 and then Yale for a team that's won as many games by 20 points in a row. But, you know, like, if what's the key to slowing Alabama down? Is it you stop the run? Do you get pressure on Tua? How do you stop? It's normally you're not talking about how do you stop an Alabama offense, but these guys score for 49 points a game. To you, Matt, how do you stop them? What's the key to the beginning to slowing them down a little bit?
I don't think that there's one. You know, because you mentioned you have to earn the right to get to try to pressure Tua, because you got to stop the run first. Alabama, albeit most of their explosive plays, and there have been a lot of them, 70 have come in the passing game. And with the advent of the run-pass option, where an offense can make you wrong defensively after the snap, it is really, really difficult. So if you had to have one variable that you could contain in this game or address in this game, it would be the explosive plays that Alabama has generated all season long, one of the most explosive offenses in the country. And as I mentioned, most of them in the passing game. Incidentally, Georgia has been the best in containing explosive plays. They've only allowed 25 of 20 yards or more. If you make Alabama earn it to where they don't kill you quickly, you're giving yourself a chance. And the only way to make them earn it is to try to get after Tua and earn the right to rush that passer on third downs. It's going to be really, really difficult to get there because Alabama's so effective on first and second down. But defensively, that is the formula. You can't give up the big explosive plays, or they'll just start spooling up points on you.
Hey, man, I know the SEC championship is probably the prime time game, the highlight of this weekend's college football action, but we do got some other good games going on around other conferences. I was curious what you thought about the chances of UCF this weekend without their starting quarterback.
Yeah, I still think that they get Memphis, but it does change the entire complexion of that team, right? I mean, you're talking about one of the better playmakers, excellent leader, in Milton. So because of that, you have to wonder, you know, what's going to end up happening once UCF takes the field without their leader offensively. And then it's always the case with any offense. That quarterback is a key component to whatever you're trying to get accomplished, and none more so than the Golden Knights in their offense. So I do think that they're able to extend their undefeated streak of wins, and somewhat unprecedented in that regard. It's really impressive what UCF has done. But as far as the prestige around that program and the cachet that has come with the record that they've been able to compile, you have to know that it takes a hit when you're without a quarterback of his caliber.
Matt, what side of the fence were you on when you saw the Oklahoma-Ohio State debate? And are you cool with four teams? Because there's going to be some good teams on the outside looking in this year, albeit maybe Georgia. You have Oklahoma, Ohio State. We'll see how this plays out. But were you comfortable with Oklahoma being ahead? And is it a safe assumption? Are you comfortable with me saying that if, let's say, Alabama beats Georgia and Oklahoma beats Texas and Ohio State wins, that due to just Texas being ranked higher than Northwestern, it's a more impressive win. Is Oklahoma getting in here? How do you think this plays out? And is four enough? Are you in the four group, or do you think we'd be better off with maybe six or eight teams in a playoff?
I'm in the four group for now, and I do think that, look, some conferences do play playoff games. Some conferences play playoff games every year. Georgia and Alabama are going to play playoff games this year versus top-tier talent. They did it at least once during the regular season. If you look at the top 10 ranked teams, albeit with both with three losses now at LSU and Florida, Georgia will have played two of them. You can add a top 15 team in Kentucky as well during the regular season. You look at what Alabama's had to do and then, of course, face the number four team in a conference championship. So under the current design, you would have to wonder that with the four teams, is there kind of undue hazard for some programs over others and some conferences over others, because the SEC will play a 13th game,
yeah,
and it will pit two of the top teams in the country. Meanwhile, Notre Dame will sit at home and do nothing.
It's a good point, Matt.
And
the people
to the top four.
SEC haters will sort of say, oh, these guys get two teams in and they do this and do that. It's like, yeah, Alabama, Alabama's reward for dominating everybody is getting Georgia now, who would beat like 92% of the teams in the country, right? Or 95% of the teams in the country, right? There's no free pass by being in the SEC.
No, this isn't. There's no birthright in the SEC. It's earned, and I think that's what we're seeing. Now, even last year, there was so much vitriol around Alabama getting in as a non-division champ. Didn't even win their division.
Yeah.
A one-loss team dropped the season finale versus Auburn. And everybody is up in arms because they shouldn't have gotten into the top four. I think Alabama more than proved that they were the best team in the country.
Yeah.
And it's been validated time and time again. The difficulty I think that will come is that Georgia wins. Does Alabama get squeezed out? And I just don't know how logically you can make that leap. Because if you're the number one team in the country, you got to play 13 games. And that 13th game is against the number four team. And you lose, and somehow you're no longer among the nation's elite. I don't know how you can arrive at that conclusion.
Now, they wouldn't, and I'm a Michigan fan, unfortunately, Matt, this week. But hey, a great basketball win last night. But they got smashed. They only fell to seventh. If Georgia wins the game, sorry, Oklahoma, sorry, Ohio State. We've got Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Notre Dame in a playoff. So. There's a lot of pressure on Oklahoma, isn't there, this week, Matt? Everyone's sort of talking, Oklahoma wins and they're going to get in. Yeah, you got to go out and win this game. And Texas might not be playing for a playoff, but it might as well be to them. Tom Herman winning a Big 12 championship and beating Oklahoma to do it doesn't get any better than that. They're 8-point underdogs. And I don't think Vegas realizes how close this rivalry actually is. What's your quick take on this one before we get you out of here?
Well, I think there is a ton of pressure on Oklahoma, and they've got Ohio State boxed out right now, and rightfully so. You've got one team that's lost to a ranked opponent, and the other team that gets beaten pretty handily by a 6-6 program. So it makes sense for Oklahoma to be sitting where they are, but the idea that the level of schadenfreude that exists with Oklahoma versus Texas, and Texas were to get that victory, and of course knocking the entire conference out of contention for a playoff spot, but also getting a win over a rival, that's kind of a big deal. Tom Fresher on the Sooners, for sure, but I think that they'll get it done.
All right, Matt, before we get you out of here, I think Michelle, our co-host, Michelle Cervico, is a little jealous, says you're going to be throwing it down with Tim Tebow. All-State Volunteers teaming up with Tim Tebow, Matt Stimcom, other SEC legends, to the C.T. Martin Notorium and Recreation Center to refurbish the football field. So tell us about this, and I know this is your hood, man. This is your area, and I know you like to give back. Yeah. But it's nice to see you guys giving back and helping kids out.
Well, you know, this is, you know, C.T. Martin is that recreational facility is right down the road from where my dad worked probably for 30 years for MARTA. And, you know, we grew up in Atlanta, but more than anything, what's happening is through this program that Allstate has put together, they are reinvesting into these communities that have played a key role in college football, in the college football landscape. And we've already touched on the role that the city of Atlanta plays, not only for the SEC, but also for nationally and the national titles. So to be able to give back in this capacity to the youth in this area means a lot to us, and it's an opportunity that we're grateful to be presented with.
It's the College Football Hall of Famer, Matt Stinchcomb, with us. Thanks for the time, Matt.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
I was asking for a prediction, but I didn't want to put him in a tough spot. Yeah, he's working the game.
Georgia Bulldog.
Yeah. And he's a Georgia Bulldog. The morning after continues.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round. We never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Tua, 36 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions this year.
Crazy, son. And played in like 1 fourth quarter. Yeah. Crazy, son.
Unbelievable. Crimson Tide only gave up 13.8 points per game as well this year. Alabama, perfect 12-0, 8-4 against the spread, 8-4 to the over. They average 49 points per game. They give up 13.8 only. Georgia's numbers are pretty much equally as impressive. They're 11-1, 7-5 ATS, 6-5-1 to the over. They score 40.1 points per game. They're giving up 17.2. Now, I think Alabama's actually been in 8 of the last 12 national championship games. It's like it's crazy, crazy stuff, but they weren't in the SEC Conference Championship game, as Matt alluded to. They didn't even win their division last year, but of course they win the national championship. Yeah. And if Alabama lost,
too. Remember, they beat Clemson in the first round last year.
Yeah, if they lost Alabama this weekend, they're still, in.
And but here's the thing, if they did lose,
they would have to lose like 160
would they be,
to nothing.
Would they be the second seed, or would they be a...
They'd probably fall to 3 only. So I don't know. Like I said, dude, Michigan got smashed. Michigan went from 4-7 only, Corey.
Yeah.
Because the thing
they
is...
They lost by 100.
Yeah, even though we see these teams, they lose or whatever, they're still way better than everyone else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone else got 3 losses still. See, there's not really much room for them to go. Like, Alabama would still be in. I hate to say the game's
meaningless.
They're going to
be in. They won the championship last year after they lost in the Iron Bowl and didn't even make the SEC championship.
Exactly.
So you got to look at the situation. They're going to send them right back. Just a matter of where they get seated and do they get matched up with Clemson. Clemson and Alabama was like Golden State and Cleveland. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
at some point, we want to see somebody else.
Clemson are the only program that are sort of on par, or at least aren't intimidated by Alabama right now.
Yeah, but even this year is going to be tough.
Don't forget, the one year they beat them, they had Deshaun Watson.
Exactly, who is killing the teams in the NFL. Who's on an 8-game winning streak in the NFL right now.
They couldn't beat him with Kelly Bryant, right? And I don't know if this Trevor Lawrence kid is getting
I don't think so. I don't think so.
All right, let's squeeze a couple of calls in. I don't know. Well, hopefully Marshall Faulk is going to join us. I know he's in meetings right now. He's going to be with us over the weekend. Thanks to Matt Stinchcomb for joining us. Cam Stewart's been with us.
Yeah, right quick, though. I would say that Georgia has had... played a more competitive schedule.
Yes.
And has better wins on their year this year than Alabama does.
Yeah, but they haven't won 12 games by 20 or more points.
That's true, too.
It's just, it's next level stuff. The Texas-Oklahoma game is the cool one. Like you said, it's at noon.
That game should be at night.
You know what, though? It's always at noon. That's when they play the Red River Rivalry, the shootout.
That's true, too.
You know, they're sticking to the norm. You know what surprised me, actually, that Alabama and Georgia isn't at night?
I thought that would be at night, too.
I just assumed
that's a 3:30 game. That's crazy. You know what I'm saying?
4 o'clock kickoff, 3:30 pregame.
The night game is the Pac-10 and Clemson-Pittsburgh. That's whack.
No one's Clemson-Pittsburgh.
That's going to be 100-0. I'm surprised Pitt made the jump.
Northwestern Ohio State is actually, that's the Saturday night game, too, but –
No, I'm not.
I'm just surprised that Alabama didn't go. It is CBS, though. It's like the network of Matlock.
Yeah,
and
yeah
stuff.
Exactly.
Like old, right?
Maybe they wanted. Maybe got something else better to put
old,
on.
Old and safe. All right, so we got the NFL. Let's get into the NFL game here tonight. Dallas Cowboys. And once again, sort of like this Alabama game, I'm not going to say, Corey, that this game is meaningless tonight for the Dallas Cowboys. But honestly, it's not a division game. Even though it's a conference game, it's not a division game. Next week against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Like, that's the big one.
All their division games from here on out is all that's massive. All it's about right now.
They're massive games.
It's all it's about right now because it's just going to come down to the tiebreaker type stuff. And I personally believe the Washington Redskins they're screwed right now. They're going to lose against Michelle's Eagles on Monday night. Colt McCoy is not going to be able to guide them to the playoffs. The Redskins are in fade mode right now. And the Dallas Cowboys can pretty much put the nail, man, in the Philadelphia Eagles next week because they already beat them. You beat them twice. It's insurmountable to come back from.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Pretty crazy. The Cowboys are on the verge of winning a division title, but I think they hang around tonight. I'm not in love with this game, to be honest. I'm going to be attacking it from a proper perspective.
I think that's the way I would go about it, too. The Dallas Cowboys have a tendency of they have their biggest games when you least expect it. When you expect them to do well, like versus the Tennessee Titans, they go out
they've
there
won three in a row, and lay a duck. They're not really winning four in a row.
I mean, but you know, New Orleans has won 10 in a row. Total, you know what I'm saying?
The total dude's down to 51 and a half.
Gabe, I don't like
I
nothing.
I liked it before.
I don't like nothing tonight. I'm never going to lay against the Cowboys. I'm never going to put it down against the Cowboys. I'm just not that type of cat, you know what I'm saying?
My best bet tonight is Dak Prescott over that 237 and a half yards.
That's probably the best one on the board right there.
I'm jumping in.
I would agree with you on that.
And I'm taking a look. Elliott is over under 121 yards, rushing and receiving combined. Rushing and both combined.
I mean, Elliott can do that.
The thing is, the Saints only give up like 74 yards a game on the ground. They have the number one ranked rush defense in the NFL, but it's kind of deceptive. Because the Saints are winning
run,
all the time.
You can't run against them.
Well, they're winning all the time, exactly. So no one's trying to run.
And then you're playing behind the chain. So running. See, this is what Dallas is going to do tonight. Dallas is going to try to take the air out the football and run the football and eat up clock and keep Breeze off the field.
I don't think it'll work.
That's going to be a mistake. Because you cannot go on these six-minute drives where you travel 30 yards and don't even change field position. The chance to get the ball, run right down your throat. Another interesting thing tonight. Byron Jones, Dallas Cowboy cornerback, is playing at a Pro Bowl level this year. He's not going to be shadowing Michael Thomas. He's going to stick to his regular duties. I think Michael Thomas can have a big game tonight. Leighton Van Der Esch, NFC Defensive Player of the Month of November, having a phenomenal season, gets a big test tonight against that Saint running game and looking across at Drew Brees. I think Dallas keeps it close in the first half. I think in the second half, when it starts to, you know, start to come a little bit unwound for them, I think Dak Prescott throws a big turnover in this game.
All right. We're going to give you our props and our bets. We're going to be on at 4 o'clock. We're going to lock this stuff down finally and in a final purpose. And say, all right, this is what we're locked in here. But I got to go to the sports book this afternoon, so I'm going to have to figure this out in a hurry. I do like that Dak Prescott prop a lot. I do think he's going to be able to go over the number. As far as Elliott is concerned, Daily Roto has him projected to rush for 76 yards.
That's right underneath the prop, right?
Yeah, it's 82 and a half. Feels a little low. As far as the wide receivers, the guys that provide value here tonight, no one really, to be honest. You got Amari Cooper projected for 71 yards, would put him a little bit over the number.
Yeah.
Michael Gallup projected for 36, puts him a little bit over the number. But to me, the prop that jumps out the most is that Dak Prescott. Drew Brees is 305 and a half yards. How do you want to approach Alvin Kamara tonight? Traquan Smith is back as well. Traquan Smith is only, he's like 45 yards, Corey. That could be the one to go over the number.
Yeah, I don't trust the Traquan Smith kid that much. So let me see. Let me do the Daily Roto thing right now. Man, it's not.
I think I'm going to have to go with the parlay, the anti Corey Parker. I'm betting against his teams here, Michelle. We're going to take the Saints on the money line, and then we'll take the Raptors.
You know, not a lot of juice on that, though.
It'll be like minus 120, minus 125.
Might not even be that, Gabe.
No, that's what it'll be.
Oh, you already checked it.
Yeah. They're not that big of favorites. Like it'll be like minus 127 or something.
I would join. I just can't. I can't do that.
Now, this is something I find interesting here. Starbucks is going to begin filtering pornography from its Wi-Fi networks, Michelle.
Oh, boy. That means people must be watching
it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't go to Starbucks.
No. If I go to a
coffee shop. I'm not a Starbucks supporter.
Me neither. I just don't really like Starbucks.
I don't drink coffee, so that's obviously I'm not going to go to Starbucks.
But there are some weird-looking people that hang out in those Starbucks.
Like I was going to say, is it a raving problem of people watching pornography in Starbucks?
It must be if they're filtering it.
It's a great segue from Marshall Five. I just heard Bones, right? Marshall Fox join us right now as I start talking about porn and Starbucks.
Wonderful. Thanks, Gabe.
Yeah, I know. It's great. Very, very professional. We'll get back to this. No, I don't know. Is that a problem? It pisses me off. I was in an airport the other day and I was trying to place a bet and it wouldn't let me. It said the website you're going on is unapproved in an airport.
Oh, my God.
I'm thinking I'll be the decider of what's approved or not. The Hall of Famer. We got a college football Hall of Famer on in Matt Stinchcomb. Now we've got the all-around world Hall of Famer, Marshall Faulk, who will be with us in studio this weekend. Marshall, thanks for squeezing us in. I know you got a busy morning. How you doing this morning, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How you doing?
Good, good. We're fired up for some football. We got the big college football championship games this week, but I know we're on the clock right now, so we'll jump into tonight's game here. Saints and Cowboys. Are the Saints peaked too early, Marshall? Do you like where they're at right now? Like, are they just rolling so much? Or because it's all about sort of maintaining and being hot at the right time going into the playoffs, isn't it? Can the Saints just keep this going? Because they remind me of you guys in the old days. They just sort of look like they're on another level than everyone else right now.
It's impressive to watch Drew Brees do what he's doing. And not just because of his age. I know he's, oh my God, he's this age, and they say it about Brady. I'm talking about the efficiency and ball placement and the familiarity with wide receivers that he did not even work with in camp.
You're reading my mind, Marshall.
Guys,
that pass last week that he threw, he dropped like a dime over everyone's head to some kid that just walked in off the street.
The timing that goes into the quarterback-receiver relationship in order to complete some of the passes that he's throwing when he's under pressure, it's unbelievable. And what he and Sean Payton, people forgot, they lost their first game week one and they've just been on a tear. And the part about this team that has changed drastically is what Dennis Allen has been able to do as defensive coordinator with his defense. And now they got Davenport back. They're healthier. The trade for Eli Apple is turning out. They can now play him, give him some help, let Lattimore be on the other side. And their other starting corner is now in the slot. It just was a great decision. And on the back end, there's safeties. Some young guys, obviously, we know what happened last year. Normally, after what happened last year against Minnesota, you crumble as a team. But they find themselves right back in the mix, 10-1, with an opportunity to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Hey, and guess what? There's one team that Sean Payton loves to play. It's the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, he loves the Cowboys and he loves going up against them.
Hey, Marshall, what's up, my man? It's Corey. How you doing, bro? Last time you were here, me and you spoke football. You weren't too impressed with my Dallas Cowboys, Marshall, but after a three-game winning streak, I'm wondering if you've turned the corner on the Dallas Cowboys.
They are 6-5 in the worst division in football, right?
Yeah. I'm talking about the 6-5 part, not the worst division in football part. The three-game winning streak part.
I know, but they go hand in hand. I know they go hand in hand. You want a transition and from me being impressed with a team on a 10-game winning streak to me being impressed with a team on a 3-game winning streak.
I want to
tell you this. At 3-5, you're normally dead. I love the fight and the resiliency that they've shown. And it's a testament to what Jason Garrett is able to do as a head coach, because he doesn't get credit for being able to get the boys ready to go out there and play football games. They've implemented Dak Moore in the running game. Most notably, they removed the rookie left guard who they had to play because he was a draft pick from Texas that was supposed to be all world, and they put the kid, the Samoan kid, Sofaloa, in, and it's changed the dynamic of the offensive line. That one move has made a difference in them being able to control the line of scrimmage. But, yes, I am impressed that they've won three games and they have an opportunity to win the NFC East. Is that what you wanted to hear?
Marshall, I just feel a little bit better about it because last time we talked Cowboy football, you weren't impressed, but I'm glad to see that you're coming around.
And then lose to the Minnesota Vikings when they host them in the first round, right, Marshall?
hey, you weren't impressed either.
You're right. I was struggling. You're right. I was. But, you know, I don't think they can get a win tonight, but I do feel as if they've been playing better over the past couple of weeks.
I'm going to say tonight, it's a must that they just remain competitive and in this game and hope that the Saints, you know, the Saints have a tendency to, like, want to get a little cute and do some things that's more entertaining than about playing football. And that's just, you know, when you have a quarterback and a head coach that's good, you get to do those things. You get to have fun with the game. The Cowboys, if their defense can keep them in this, and you got one of the best teams against the run, if not the best team in the New Orleans Saints playing defense, going up against a team that's going to try to control the clock. If you limit, if they can limit Drew Brees' possessions and make every possession a must that he score or at least get something out of the drive, then you have a chance.
All right, Marshall, I'm going to cut right to the chase. You know, we're in a new world where everyone's laying it down. I think there's more than 51 points scored in this game. Cowboys are going to try to milk that clock a little bit, but the Saints strike quickly. You know, Dak Prescott with Amari Cooper, he's getting a lot of yards after the catch right now and some production. Suddenly the offense has opened up a little bit. I think there's points put up on the game. Do you think it's a higher scoring game tonight and an exciting, you know, one of those, you know, prime time higher scoring games tonight?
I actually think the opposite. I believe anytime that you're on a short week, what the Saints, although they want to score, what they're going to want to do is they're going to want to possess. Both of these teams are going to want to possess the ball and shorten the game. Short week, that's what you want to do. You want to possess the ball. You want to shorten the game. You want to wear out the other team's defense. And you don't wear them out by scoring quick. You want them out by having long, sustainable drives. And I feel like this game might be one of those lower-scoring games. But ball control, a lot of running, a lot of first downs, but not a lot of points.
Yeah, I'm worried about that. All right, Marshall, I know we got to get you out of here. We'll see you Saturday morning. We'll talk some college football, some big games this week, and I look forward to it, man. Thanks for checking in this morning.
Games, man. Looking forward to it.
All right, Marshall.
Right on. Have a good time.
Hey, good stuff. There's Marshall Faulk with us.
Me and Marshall are going to go hang out Friday night when you get in town.
Oh, yeah? Where at?
I don't worry about that, Michelle.
Oh. Does Marshall know that? You can sense for real, Michelle. He ain't down with the Cowboys.
No, he's not.
You're playing a crappy division. He goes, I'm serious. He even stops. He's like, yo, I mean it. I ain't feeling the Cowboys.
Nah, he's not the Cowboys supporter. They must have telling you. He must have lost to the Cowboys a lot in his career.
Yeah, we're going to find out. You're going to ask him. Like, what was it? Like, you know, when we get him down here, we'll ask him. What is it about the Cowboys? There's always a story, right?
Of course, it has to be.
They say, I don't know, they didn't draft me, they screwed me. Maybe they asked him something stupid at the combine.
Yeah,
you never know.
I'm curious to find out.
Or he wanted to play for them.
That kind of Cowboy hate is not, well, you see it a lot, though. But we used to it.
It's like with Tom Brady, though. You know, after all these years, I had Tom Brady's father on last year. And I asked Tom Brady's father, he said, you know, my son will probably not retire as a Patriot. And he said, because he'll want to keep on playing, but Belichick will probably want to push him out.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I said, you know, I've always thought that your son would end up with the San Francisco 49ers. And I said, you know, he grew up as a 49er fan, and he was Joe Montana and all that. And he goes, you know what, Gabe? He said, yeah, you know what? He goes, we actually did. And he goes, until they didn't draft us in the first six rounds. And then he goes, Tom will never be a San Francisco 49er.
Wow.
Here they are years later.
He didn't like
years
that.
Years later, still resentment.
Holding that grudge.
And I asked him, I said, are you still a San Francisco 49er season ticket holder? He goes, no, not anymore.
Wow.
He goes, when they didn't draft my son, I stopped being a season ticket holder.
Wow.
They're hardcore to Brady's. Like, they hold grudges. Like,
yeah, huh?
Yeah, grudges.
I love that, too, though. You know what? But if you hold on, Michelle, this is another thing that I've learned.
Yes.
If you hold on to a grudge, right? Let's look. If you hold on to a grudge, your hands are not free to receive blessings.
Interesting.
Okay, that's a good one. I like that. I like that a lot.
My problem, I got
a
clenched
fist. Because
there's
a lot of people I know that hold. Yeah, that's actually a good one.
There
so your hands are not free
to receive your blessings.
To receive blessings.
If you hold on
to
grudges, your hands are not free to receive.
Get that from John Wooden's book?
I did, and you know what? I think I may have came in John Wooden's book. It may have came in from John Wooden's
book. Corey quotes.
He is. Corey's full of knowledge and wisdom sometimes.
Yep. Ain't the only thing I'm full of.
He's full of everything except money.
Well, that's true too.
That's
he's got everything.
Yeah. You know why, Michelle.
So, as we were saying before Marshall Faulk interrupted us with that football talk. Hey, so what's the deal? Are there people pleasuring themselves and
Starbucks?
I'm about to say what? Yeah. I'm about to leave. I'm saying what's going on in the restaurant?
Yeah, so Starbucks. So I'm dead serious. So this happens. I'm in an airport. I can't place a bet. Like it lets me go on like CBSSports.com or whatever. But I tried to log on to a sports book, and the airport wouldn't let me do it.
I had to dump.
And I'm thinking, come
mind
on.
Your business. Personal
yeah, I'm
freedom.
Thinking, really, it's legal,
yeah,
too. What are you worried
doing,
about?
Airport? What this is Canada, must be.
So, no, it was actually in.
Newark?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was in Newark. Yeah, Canada doesn't. Online gaming is legal in Canada.
Oh, okay. So you're good.
Yeah, they're not as uptight. So Starbucks will begin filtering pornography.
Could've fooled me.
From public.
Could have fooled me, saying they're not uptight.
Who's uptight?
You are.
I'm uptight?
Yeah.
I'm the opposite of uptight.
The way you are about young athletes, I think you're uptight.
What do you mean I'm uptight?
You don't like young athletes.
I'm the
you're
opposite
uptight.
Of uptight.
You're uptight when it comes to young athletes.
I am the definition of easygoing, laid back, and chill.
Baker Mayfield wears a bandana.
He's a punk.
That's real laid
He's
back.
He's annoying.
That's real laid back, Michelle, but go ahead.
I don't think that's laid back.
He's a troublemaker. The kid got arrested.
For what? He didn't get arrested.
Yeah, he got tackled by a cop.
Everyone I know has been arrested.
Yeah, Trayvon Boykin's a bad guy, but Baker Mayfield.
Oh, cut it out.
What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say about Baker Mayfield? I don't like the guy. I don't like him. I'm honest. I don't like him. I think he's mouthy, and I don't like his bandana.
It's hard to say that you're not a
It doesn't matter. He probably doesn't like my bald head.
He probably don't.
No.
Take a stand. He probably don't like some of your hot takes either. You know what I'm saying? Oh, did y'all see the Tyson Fury, Dante Wilder?
Yeah, I'm betting on Fury. We're going to break that fight down tomorrow.
Oh, really? We got Freddie Pacheco coming on? The fight doctor?
Dude, he's dead, man. Come on.
Oh, my bad. My bad, Freddie. Rest in peace. R.I.P.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff, man. Thanks, buddy. Yeah, maybe we will. Maybe we'll get, maybe we get Larry Merchant on.
No, get Larry Merchant on the joint. Break down the box. What's your man name from ESPN? I used to have him on an old show back in the day. I can't think of his son's name right now. I got Dan Rayfield.
Oh, Dan Raphael.
Yeah, Dan Raphael. Yeah,
Dan Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
I got my boy Russ Amber. I used to host a boxing show.
Oh,
actually.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was a world champion trainer many, many years ago.
Nice.
We'll jump into that fight tomorrow. I'm serious. I like the underdog here. I would be generally inclined to take the underdog in this fight no matter what, but I think Tyson Fury, the guy's just, he's not great or anything, but he's massive.
His son is a big dude.
It's like hitting a tree. Man.
Yeah, son. It's
like,
you know what I mean?
It does
man.
Nothing. And then he just sort of, lurch.
Yeah, he can take it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's tough. And that's the thing. He's a tough drinking, alcoholic, coke sniffing gypsy. Like, he's not a wuss. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, he's not.
Like, Michelle, you know Tyson Fury? He's the type of guy, he's a world champion, but he'll post a video of him, like, crying drunk in his car.
Wow.
He's like driving in a little like Lada or something. You know what I mean? Like he's a weird dude. Like he doesn't fight for money. He just fights because it's who he is. He's sort of like a Diaz in a way.
Like doesn't give a F?
Yeah, except instead of weed, he boozes and like, you know what I mean, parties.
Okay.
And
yeah.
You know, he's sort of got like, I don't know if he was abandoned. He's got like some personal issues. Like when he gets drunk, he gets into that emotional sort of
I've
been through a lot of stuff type thing
that
you guys don't know about, right?
Yeah. That crybaby.
Yeah, he's not like a All right. So anyway, that's what I was saying. So have you ever seen anyone anyone watching porn in Starbucks before?
Well, again, like, I don't really go in. I'm not a star. I prefer, actually, Dunkin' Donuts over Starbucks. I'm not really a Starbucks girl. I only like their cake pops. But when I do go in there, I don't really look around at the – I can't say I really look around at the people in there on their computers. I usually try to quickly walk out of there because, again, like I said, some of them are some strange cats. The one in Hoboken anyway, the one on Newark Street, strange people. And so I go in, and now usually I get an Uber from there. I get my cake pop, my peppermint cake pop, and
you
I'm like, all right,
there's some wackos in there?
Yeah, there's some wackos in there. Like, when I go to a coffee shop, I don't know. I usually go to different ones. I never go to Starbucks, though. But there's something about the something weird about the Starbucks. I can't quite put my finger on it, but there is something strange about the people that go to those Starbucks cafes. So this article really doesn't shock me all that
much.
So
basically, it's an anti-porn group called Enough is Enough. You like that, Corey?
Enough is enough. Put that down, would you? You gonna do that all day?
Where's your hand? Yeah, it's the group. Enough is enough. They're an anti-porn activist group. They only got 26,000 people.
I'm tired of coming in here and seeing the lotion all over the place. Enough is enough.
So basically, they're calling Starbucks out because Starbucks promised in 2016 that they would ban porn in their stores. Now, the thing is, Starbucks saying they don't have an issue with porn in their stores.
Yeah.
But they were like, whatever. People aren't allowed to watch porn.
Well, yeah.
In our store.
Yeah, because I think about it, parents come in with their little kids.
This Enough is Enough group.
They want the cake pops.
It's not enough that they don't, no one's watching porn. They want it, like, so it's blocked. So you can't, you can't log in.
Okay.
So I guess McDonald's signed up for this program, Corey.
People go at McDonald's and...
So, yeah, people... Well, McDonald's, I would understand McDonald's more than Starbucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, because McDonald's...
Yeah, McDonald's, you never know.
McDonald's are open 24 hours.
They can get skeevy in McDonald's.
Come on, you look down the street, Michelle. You ever been to McDonald's on 8th over here?
No.
I guarantee you someone has touched their own junk in that place.
No, more multiple times. know what I'm saying? That's a skeevy joint. That's a skeevy joint.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So this is good.
Take a red light to that joint.
The Enough is Enough group, they don't play around. Starbucks promised in 2016 to scramble porn on their Wi-Fi, but never did. Apparently, Starbucks cares more about providing paper straws to protect the environment than protecting kids and patrons on its public Wi-Fi.
We should call my mom. She goes to Starbucks every day.
It's coming in the joint. Hey, kids, look at this. You know what I'm saying?
I've never heard of this once in my life.
What are you talking about? Enough is enough.
Do we have time? Call her cold. This is kind of a weird question, but ask. Mom, have you ever seen anyone pleasure themselves watching porn at Starbucks?
Have you?
Shelly, what's wrong with you, dear?
All right. McDonald's also promised to filter pornography from its Wi-Fi networks in 2016 in a similar position. It actually did. According to Enough is Enough, McDonald's actually went through on its promise, but Starbucks never did. You know, Starbucks manager's probably like, great, these anti-porn people are on the phone again.
Wonderful.
what do you want from us? Like, what does this anti-porn group think? Like, hey, I don't even go to Starbucks. I don't support them. I refuse to pay. I'm not paying. Like, I don't buy that crap. But yeah. I got nothing against their company. And, you anti-porn people got to back them. You know, what do you want from them? Is a Starbucks, fault there's a porn industry?
Apparently. I mean, I don't know why else they would, enforce that just for no reason. There has to be. I wish I went into Starbucks more so I could know the answer to this. Because you know what? I'll go get a cake pop later, and I'll walk in Starbucks, and I'll try and look on people's computers.
You know what? I'll go with you, and I'll start watching porn there. I'll go with you, and I'll just start watching porn.
You put a cake pop in your mouth, everybody's going to be watching.
But we can't do it now, right?
I'll just punch in Khloe Kardashian.
Khloe Kardashian.
It won't take long to find something. All right. So we're running out of racetrack here. Do we leave anything on the table? You want to get off your chest, Michelle? Is there a story?
I thought this was an interesting story. So the Steelers lost to the Broncos Sunday in Denver, a game that seems to make no sense because they outgained the Broncos by more than 200 yards with Ben Roethlisberger throwing for 462 yards. Anyway, weirdly enough, you know how we were talking about stats and it's kind of crazy how people come up with these random stats?
It can mean anything.
Right. So weirdly enough, there's someone that came up with a study that said on NFL teams traveling and teams going east have historically been at a disadvantage. But there's no conceivable explanation for why the Steelers consistently over nearly 50 years have been so much worse when they go west. So again, this stat doesn't really add up. So I need to stat people, you know,
we've got to bring the king. Who's the stat guy? Sussman and Frank, right?
Yeah, those are the stats. You want the stats to come up to you in about 7 minutes from now with the fantasy best friends.
You guys going
to
get along today?
I don't have no problem with the BFF.
I just set you all in place yesterday. I tell you something.
Yeah, it don't even make a difference. Anybody against me in a radio war, I win. Layup line. Layup line. That's a layup line for me. I want it. That's a layup line for me. That's in my wheelhouse.
We've got a pretty big army.
All right.
Sussman and Frank coming up next.
Marcus Cato is a baseball-loving 20-year-old Californian. In May, he was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. Marcus now needs a bone marrow transplant from an unrelated donor to survive. The National Bone Marrow Registry is made up of only 7% African Americans, which means Marcus, who is biracial, faces a unique challenge to find a match. Text INVOLVE to 50555 to join DKMS in the fight to help Marcus and others get a second chance at life.
A lifelong dream of mine is to be interviewed on The View.
Well, wow. I don't want to break your heart, but it's never going to happen.
You don't think so?
I'm just
like
being
when I release my first book, when my first my book life, comes out, you know, Life and Tales of the Fantasy.
I've had a dream
executive
to have sex with Shakira for a long time. And, you know, there might be a better chance of me hooking up with Shakira than you appearing on
The
View.
When I write my book and it hits the New York Times bestseller list, they're going to invite me on The View.
The only time you're ever going to appear on the set of The View is if you get a job cleaning a set up.
That's not a nice game.
I know, it's so
Michelle,
cold, huh?
my book come out, Michelle.
Michelle,
don't you think it's going to
I think when your book comes out, you have a chance.
Yeah, I'm gonna be on The View. They're gonna interview me.
On the View. I'm on The View. What you doing?
Your book, Corey.
Because I got a job as a grip. I'm just kidding. You're right. That was pretty mean.
They bring me on The View. I'll be like, hey, all right, there we go. And I'll put my book in front of me, and then the ladies will be, and you know, they'll flirt with me because I'm handsome. You know what I'm saying?
You know what we got to do? We got to find out. I don't think you're ever too old for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
They probably will flirt with you, Corey.
Listen. Our friend, let's go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Michelle, they're going to flirt with me.
They'll definitely flirt with me. I think they'll like him.
Yeah.
All right, Whoopi will be giving you the eye.
Nah, not Whoopi. Whoopi's too old for me. I don't want a MILF. I want that one on the end.
Michelle's got the school teacher, the kindergarten teacher look today. What? Hello, Mr. Serpico. How's my son doing?
Good morning, Mrs. Serpico.
Are you married?
He's not really good in math. He's not really good in English. He needs a little work on his, you know, literature. But
see, the kids would be too young to know how hot she is, but the parents wouldn't.
Yeah.
That's when the father's like, telling the wife, I'll go to the teacher parent meeting there.
I'll take care of it.
and your experience has quite ever happened? Like, you go to teacher parent meeting and you ever think, man, I want to hit on this chick, but it's pretty inappropriate probably.
I slept with one of my son's teachers. What?
Wow.
Not against the law.
That didn't, I don't know. Unethically, did she give him good grades after, or did he earn them?
She was fine, you know what I'm saying? There wasn't no beef.
Very casual the way through
well,
out there.
He got accepted to a lot of colleges this week. You
yeah, exactly. So
I guess
so are you sleeping with deans?
Well.
No,
it was younger, like in his elementary school era, you know what I'm saying?
So you rolled
in. Corey set him up.
And we wonder why Corey's not with the mother of the child anymore. Like, oh, yeah, I went to a pair. Yeah. So, wow.
Great. I came in there. She was like, oh, y'all look just alike. You're like, he's a handsome little boy, just like his daddy. And I was like, listen, you know what I'm saying? And then after that, you know what I mean? It just so happened, I was out one night, and I'm like, this lady looked familiar.
Oh, really? You ran into her?
Teacher.
Oh.
Yeah, after school.
Because I was going to say even cooler, like, if you would have been like, you know, all right, son, I'll see you at home in a little while. And you just, like, get it right on the desk. If you had a story, like, the desk in the school or in the teacher's
lounge.
No, it
wasn't
lounge.
Like that. You know, but what was crazy
she
was.
She ran into her, like, man, this chicken, you know, like, oh.
She was late for work the day after, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, my son's mom dropping them off at the school, and they outside. Like, the teacher not here yet. You know what I'm saying? And she's like, oh, that's interesting. The teacher's not here. And I'm like, oh, I really? I wonder what's taking her so long. Get up. Wake up.
Wow.
Those are the good old days, man.
Yeah, the good old days.
Oh,
to be young again, Corey.
I would love, man. Good time.